Hi, everybody. I am so excited to have Nate Dukes as our guest today. I heard him on a Robert B. Foster's podcast, and he was amazing. I had to have him on the Happy Being Well podcast. But before we dive deep with Nate, he is an amazing book author, You'll Never Change. I highly recommend you guys read it. Go to Amazon.com, type in You'll Never Change by Nate Dukes. This guy is amazing. Trust me, you'll enjoy this podcast. But before we dive deep with Nate, we are going to hear a little bit of words from our sponsor. Our sponsor of this podcast is happybeingwell.com, your place for stylish, comfy, and unique yoga leggings. And along with other self-care products for your day-to-day self-care needs, such as crystals, sage, organic facial masks, or natural soaps, and much more at happybeingwell.com. All right, Nate, I am really excited to have you on here. Like listening to you on Robert B., I was like, oh my God, I have to have him on. He's amazing. Like he really, truly gets, you know, what's currently going on in our subconscious mind, how to shift it, how to reprogram it. So I'm assuming this is what led you to write your book, You'll Never Change. So tell us a bit about yourself. Like what led you to write this book? Like what inspired you, what sparked you?
Yeah. Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having me on here. When you reached out, I went and I did a deep dive on the show and I love what you're doing here. This is incredible. You're doing something special and I'm just grateful to be a part of it. But I'll tell you, they say a good book is the conversation that you have over and over and over again. And the conversation I kept having was, Nate, you've made such an incredible comeback in your life. How do I do the same thing? And so I wrote this book for anybody who feels like their life is too messed up to change. They struggle with self-confidence. Maybe they don't have a vision for their future. Maybe they want to go to the next level, but they don't know how to yet. I took some practical advice, the practical steps that I took, but I also combined it with different parts of my story. So each chapter, you'll get a piece of my story. You'll get a practical application. At the end, there's a comeback challenge that you can apply to your life right away so you can start to see results. You know, if information changed people, we'd all be skinny and we'd all be rich, but it doesn't, right? So it's the action that we need to take in our lives that's going to produce the results that we're looking for.
I am so happy that you brought that up because I think this is where personal development kind of gets a bad rap. Like a lot of people see people like go to Tony Robbins events or other personal development events, and then they come home, they get riled up, right, from that, you know, rah-rah stuff. And then what happens is they, you know, maybe they'll speak it to their friends and family for a few days and then they end up reverting back to what's familiar. They just revert back to their old habits and they really don't take the massive action and they don't really dive deep into themselves either. So what's going on there? Where's the gap there? Like, why are they stuck? Like they get the data and then they don't leap into the action or they don't even do a deep dive into really what's truly going on in their subconscious mind, like what's imprinted upon them. I mean, it is a journey. I mean, my God, even myself included, like just recently I've unraveled and uncovered stuff that was going on from childhood that led to some, you know, programming. So speak to us on.
Yeah, I think so. Your question is multifaceted. I think it has a couple different answers to it. But at the core of it, I think that anytime you're in an environment that you get the opportunity to grow, you're going to. So if a plant isn't doing well, if it's starting to die, we don't look at that plant and say, there's something wrong with you. We don't look at that plant and condemn it. We don't shame it. We don't guilt it. What we try to do is we try to remove it from the environment and we hopefully that it gets the right sunlight, nutrients, and a place to grow deep roots so that it can start to thrive immediately. Well, when you get transplanted into a new environment and then you don't find a way to take your environment with you, or you come back to an environment that's toxic or not healthy or doesn't promote growth, I'm not surprised that those plants start to die again or they start to wilt or they go back to where they were. And so that's why I'm a big supporter of you taking personal ownership of the five people that you do life with. You know, psychologists will tell us that you are the average person. You'll make the average decisions of the five people that you spend the most time with. Science will tell us that you'll make the average amount of money of the five people that you do the most life with. And when I say do life, I mean spending time, making jokes, enjoying yourself, family vacation. Like, who do I spend the most time with? And so when I understand that, if I understand this principle to be true, now I have to take some personal responsibility. I got to look at the last five text messages I sent. Who are they to? What have they been about? Have they been energy vampires that are draining me from my energy and not actually pulling me towards the plan and the purpose that I've created for my life? Or are they pulling me to actually do more, be more, contribute more, give more? Like, once I recognize the patterns, now I have the responsibility to say, okay, what direction do I ultimately want to move in? And when we start to talk about stuff like this, it can be a little uncomfortable. And I totally get it, because the first thought people start to have is, man, are you telling me I'm supposed to like walk away from my friends? Are you telling me I'm supposed to give up on people? Well, yes and no. I don't think it's one or the other. What I'm telling you is that if your hands are full right now, if you have full hands, it's hard for you to carry anything else. And when we start to open up our hands and we walk away from, or maybe just limit our time with some people, we've actually opened up our hands so that new people with new voices and new direction can start to come in. But it's only until we start to let go that we can grab onto something else. And maybe for some of you that are listening right now, maybe this is actually the permission that you need to walk away from a toxic relationship or a toxic friendship or that group of people that, you know, when you get around, man, you're not the same person anymore. And you get around them and you start doing things and saying things and becoming a person that, man, this is not who I actually want to be, but I don't know why I get around them and I become a different person. And so maybe for you, this is the opportunity that you need to just say, you know what? I know that there's more for me out there. I know that there's a life of contribution, of gratitude, of beauty, of hope, of joy. I know that life is available to me. And if I keep heading in this direction, I don't know that I'm going to get it. So we're going to actually pivot in this moment. And part of that pivot is we're just going to limit the time with the negative people. We're going to limit our time with the toxic people. And it's okay, because the truth is that good people will come and go out of our life. The people that are in our life right now, they may not be here forever. And I am so okay with that. I want the right people in my life to be in my life right now. But in the next season, they may not be the right people. And that's okay. I'm not saying that we're not friends or I don't have a love for them. I'm just saying that I don't want to be so small-minded that my circle has to stay exactly the way it looks right now, because man, I want to grow as a person. And there's so much data that will say that every 7 years, we actually become a completely different person. And, you know, so that means for me, I just got married last year. In 7 years, I'm going to actually have to be loving a brand new woman. And I'm okay with that. And I accept that challenge. But maybe some people in my life, the friend circle, man, they may not grow in the same direction that I grow. And I've just got to be okay with saying, you know what, this is more of like a fluid thing. It comes and it goes, and the right people are going to be here right now. But I'm also going to take some personal responsibility and say, if I know that you're not right, if I know that you're toxic, if I know that you're pulling me away from the greatness that is inside of me, well, then I just choose to say, our time is limited. You don't have full access to my life.
Awesome. It's absolute truth. It's truly, truly absolute truth. Now, what would you say with somebody that is cultivating that awareness and they've changed their environment? Let's just say they actually relocate to like another city or town. And let's just say they actually terminate all of those toxic relationships around them. Now they go into this new city or town, they get a new job and everything, and all of a sudden they're recreating. There's more people popping up that are also toxic again. It's like they're literally like, maybe they're going into depression spouts still or whatever it is that they're doing that's low vibration. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, first of all, I love people who are at this point. So that people who have like started over completely, you have a clean slate. I think there is so much beauty there. I think that you have an opportunity to build your life back brick by brick, exactly how you'd like to create and cultivate your life. And so when that moment happens, I just tell people, I say, whatever you look for in life, you're going to find. And so if you are looking for negative people, maybe even on a subconscious level, if you're looking for people that, man, I've got to fix them because that's who I am. I'm a fixer. You're gonna attract some people who need fixing. And oftentimes they're not good for our life. And so whatever you look for, you find. And so we want to set very clear intentions for our day, for our life, for our year, that we are looking for ways to give back. We are looking for ways to be generous. We are looking for ways to love with our whole heart and to be loved, but not to be taken advantage of. We're looking for ways to set clear boundaries in the beginning, because I love what Mel Robbins says. She says, a toxic person will make you feel bad for saying no, but it's not really me saying no. I'm actually setting a clear boundary. And so we want to make sure that we are looking for the beauty in life. And so if you've started over, if you've moved to a new place, if you've got a new situation, anything, you feel like this fresh new thing, but all of a sudden I'm worried that I'm going to start attracting the wrong people, or some toxic people are starting to show up. I would just say, what are you looking for? Do you have a clear vision for your life? Have you set very clear parameters? Because when I really start to help people, I always say that if you don't know where you're going in life, there will always be somebody to come along and tell you where to go. And if you want to get on an airplane right now and you say, you drive to the airport and you say, sell me a ticket, they will gladly sell you a ticket to somewhere. But is it anywhere that you actually want to go? So we've got to be personally responsible and create a clear vision for our life. And when you ask people, what do you want out of life? You know, we oftentimes, because we've never really thought about it all that much, and we don't know what to say, but we don't want to sound stupid. We'll say things like, I just want to be happy. I just want my kids taken care of. I just want to be okay. I just want the bills to be paid. And while all of those things are great, and yes, we all at our core level, we want those, we need to actually get more specific. Because what does happiness actually look like to you? What does happiness actually feel like to you? What does fulfillment look like? And if you've never actually defined or thought about it, it can be a little intimidating. So I start to ask questions like, well, what do you want people to say about you when you leave a room? What do you want your legacy to look like when you're gone and there's no, and you don't have anything left to contribute? What are other people gonna remember you for? What kind of interpersonal relationships do you want to have? What do you want those to feel like? Do you want them to be life-giving, or do you want them to be where you're always the one fixing people? How much money do you want to make? And I know we can start to get sticky when we talk about finances, but seriously, think about it. What kind of money do you need to make for you to feel fulfilled? What kind of car do you want to drive? What kind of house do you want to have? Let's get super specific, because when we have a target, we have a very clear target, we now have the ability to move towards that target. Otherwise, we're kind of just floating out here in the ocean. And a great example of this is that, I've been taking my health really seriously these past 2.5, almost 3 years. And so I was doing it all on my own, but I also know that professionals get coached, amateurs do it on their own. And so I'm trying to take it to another level. And I've been recently talking to a personal trainer, and we sat down and we kind of mapped out my goals. And, he just asked me, he says, well, Nate, like, what do you want to do? What direction do you want to go in? And I said, bro, I'll be honest with you, I just want to look good. And he goes, okay, Nate, I hear you. What does looking good mean to you? Because looking good to you might mean something different than it does to me. And so as he like said that to me, I almost felt like a duh moment. Like I smacked my own forehead. I was like, Nate, he's speaking your language right now. These are the things that you preach, you tell people all of the time. Let's get specific, very specific. And so I just told him, I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. I need to actually take some time and process and think about this, because this isn't something that I just need to make a snap decision right now on. We're talking about my life here. We're talking about my future here. Let me put some intentionality into it. And so I spent some time and I talked to my wife and we figured some things out, and we got that all clear. And I got very specific on the direction that I want my health to move in. But it takes me being aware, but also being willing to to move towards an unknown. And when we start to create a vision for our life, we don't want to be limited by what we think is possible based on our right now. Because I'll look at my right now and say, there ain't no way I'm ever running a Spartan race. I'm doing a Tough Mudder. There's no way I'm going to do 100 pull-ups, because I'm only looking at my right now. So for some of us, when we create a vision, and there may have been some dreams that are dormant in our life, some things that we've wanted to accomplish and do, but because life gets busy, things get overwhelming. We have to pay bills now. There's a mortgage. I've got kids. And those dreams start to go dormant. And so I actually want to unlock some of those dreams inside of people of like, man, what could 5 years from now look like? What could 10 years now from now, what could that look like for your life? Not based on your right now, but based on, man, if I work hard enough, if I get the right strategy, if I move in the right direction, if I get around the right people, if I find the right mentor, what could it look like? And so there's this beautiful moment that happens when the light bulb switch clicks on and people go, maybe I have been playing at 40% or 30%. And there's 80, 90, 100% available to me if I would just, man, believe that it's possible. And so we want to break some of those chains off of our life of unbelief and say, man, I'm willing to be a dreamer. And I know some people listening to this are saying, well, no, Nate, I'm realistic. And that's great. Me too. I'm super practical. I love practical application. But I also want to say, man, I need a little bit of faith in my life. I need a little bit of belief. I need a little bit more to be able to dream so that I can actually move towards something greater.
Wow, that was very, very powerful. And that being said, you know, like, how did you become Nate Dukes today? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So growing up, we were the poor family. We did not have a whole lot. My parents, they had a lot of broken mindsets, and they had their own issues that they were dealing with. The truth is they were kids trying to raise kids, and I don't blame them for anything. It was a tough time for me and my brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest of five. I remember one time my mom coming up to us and saying, hey, just, I want to let you kids know, don't plan on having a whole lot of Christmas presents underneath the tree this year. And as a kid, that's never anything you want to hear, but there was this really great church that came along and they helped us out. Actually, they bought my mom Christmas presents, and it was an awesome experience. But we also had this understanding that, man, this didn't come from mom and dad. And we were used to hand-me-downs and handouts. And it wasn't until I turned 18 that I thought to myself, man, I actually want to escape the chaos of my childhood. And so I was actually fortunate enough to be able to apply to college and get in. And I was super thankful for that. But instead of trying to better myself, I actually found that I was attracted to the party scene. And so I was introduced to drugs and alcohol right away. And it's a pretty typical college experience. I get it. But all of a sudden now what was turning into a weekend thing turned into a full-blown drug addiction at age 19, 20, and 21. And so now the party and the drugs are competing against my studies. And I'm taking prescription ADD medication to try and focus and take tests. And it just, one thing led to another. And after 4 years, I managed to come nowhere close to getting a degree. And I don't know if you've ever had to take the walk of shame before, but moving back in with mom and dad, that's the real walk of shame for me. And so I had to move back in with my parents. And through a series of events, actually, I was able to get connected with a friend of mine who wanted to open up a bar and restaurant in downtown Youngstown, Ohio. And this really touched on the entrepreneur that wanted more, that wanted to better myself. But it also touched on the party scene that I had really fallen in love with. And so over the course of 2 years, we actually took something that was failing in the beginning, and then we turned it into something that was really successful. And now all of a sudden I had access to more money than I had ever seen in my entire life. Now this was not a crazy amount of money, but you got to understand, being the poor kid growing up, for me, it felt like the world. And so I had a great car. I had a beautiful apartment in downtown that had high rise ceilings. It was so nice. I was in social settings that I would have never had access to before. But you know what I found is that I was still really empty on the inside. And I could not figure out why, because I thought that once I got all of the stuff that I would be happy. And I got the stuff and I was still miserable. And so that's when the drug addiction really started to ramp up. And I also started going to casinos and gambling a lot. And listen, I'm the classic definition of a bad gambler. Okay. I will just go back, I will lose, and I'll keep going. And over the course of about a year and a half, I actually ended up gambling everything that I owned away. I lost everything personally. But even though my bank accounts were empty, the business bank accounts, they were still full. And so I started to actually take money off the top from the bank accounts. I would move things around from the different accounts. And, you know, in my mind at the time, I guess I thought, well, Nate, I'm the business owner. Isn't this your money anyways? Well, here's the deal. You can't take business money and use it for personal investments. That's actually called embezzlement. And so here I was taking money from my business to fund my drug and gambling addiction. And it got really bad. We had 15 employees who worked for us at the time, and they had to take care of their families and pay their bills. And it was a Friday and it was payday. And my business partner came up to me and he said, Nate, it's time to cut the checks for everybody. And I just came clean to him in that moment. And I said, if we write these checks, man, there's not going to be anything enough. There's not enough to cover them right now. And he was confused. He was frustrated. He was upset. And then you could see that it all flashed before his eyes. He realized what was going on, that I had taken the payroll money the night before and I'd gambled it all away and I'd lost it. And he gave me an ultimatum at that point. He said, Nate, you can sign this business over to me and walk away free and clear, or I'm going to get lawyers involved and I'm going to press charges. And so at age 26, I walked away from what essentially was my life's work at that point. And super depressed, didn't know who I was because my identity was wrapped up in being a business owner. And when you took that away from me, I didn't know who I was. And so here I am moving back in with mom and dad again. And I don't think that they fully understood the depths of what I was going through at this point. And so I could hardly hold down a job. I would get a job as like a server at a local restaurant. I'd end up reverting back to what I knew, which was taking from the cash register. I'd get caught and then I'd get fired. And so this happened three different times. And then finally, the last time I was walking around my parents' apartment complex, it was 3 a.m. I'd just taken a handful of pills and I was walking to different vehicles to see if they were unlocked, to see if there was anything that I could sell or I could take or I could just get my hands on. And I end up lifting up the center console to a 1999 Buick LeSabre. And as I stuck my hand in, I pulled out the spare keys to that car. And because apparently that's where you keep the spare keys to a 99 Buick LeSabre. But in that moment, I thought to myself, man, maybe this is a chance to get away. Maybe this is a chance to just run away from all my problems, because I didn't wake up that morning thinking to myself, today's the day that I steal a car. But when you find yourself in the wrong place with the wrong headspace, and you never really know what is possible. And so I loaded up 5 garbage bags of clothes. And I knew that I had a friend in Houston, Texas that said, Nate, if you ever find a way to get down here, I'll help you start your life over. Now he didn't know I was about to steal his car, and frankly, neither did I, but here I was loading up these garbage bags of clothes and heading for Texas. And I just wanted to get away from my problems and my life that I had created. And I don't know if you've ever tried to run away from your problems before, but man, we often find that our problems run just as fast as we do, because it's not our surroundings, it's us. And so I made it halfway right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. I had pulled into a gas station in Ashland City, and I just wanted to get some sleep because I'd been up for 3 days at this point. And I pulled into a gas station and I closed my eyes. And then I was woken up at 9 a.m. by 3 really loud bangs on the driver's side window. A stranger's hand reached into the car, pulled me onto the ground, put me in handcuffs, and sat me in the back of a cop car. And the weight of every decision that I had made sat on my chest like a ton of bricks. And this thought kept running through my brain. It was the same thought that teachers had told me, that my business partner had told me. I often find that the loudest voices are the ones that are in our own head. And it kept saying, you'll never change. This is who you are. This is your life now. And they took me to Cheatham County Jail, where I spent 6 months of my life. And it was a pod style facility. So I shared it with 16 guys. There was 8 bunk beds. There was 3 tables. There was 2 restrooms. There was 1 TV, but there were 0 windows. And the only chance that we got to get out was once a month, they offered something called church service. Now, listen, I wasn't interested in going to church, but I was interested in getting out of that pod. And so we walked down this long hallway. Off to the left-hand side, there was a cinder block room with 16 folding chairs set up, and we all filed in, and all of us were in our orange jumpsuits, and there were some pretty ugly looking dudes at this point. Our beards were grown out. Our hair was a mess. And as we sit down, this really, really old guy walks in and he pulls out this really, really old guitar and he starts to tune it up. And he looks at us and he says, "Fellas, the only difference between me and you is that I never got caught." And he starts to sing the song "Amazing Grace." And it goes, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." And I look around the room and I see these criminals, these guys who have made mistakes, who have hurt people. And I see tears streaming down their face. And man, they were crying, and they were crying hard. They were ugly white girl, like drunk white girl crying. Okay. like I'm a mess right now. And here we are. And in this moment, it's almost hard to describe because I wasn't worried about my past, the things that I'd done wrong. I wasn't worried about my future. When am I going to get out of here? But this overwhelming sense of peace sat on me. And I just thought to myself, man, if it's possible to change, I want to, because this is not the life that I want anymore. And so I was able to get out of jail. They gave me a felony theft over 1,000 and 2 years of probation, because you're not allowed to steal cars and drive them across the country. And so I was able to transfer that probation back to Ohio. And when I got to Ohio, I found a John Maxwell book that said, if you want your life to change, you've got to be the one that changes first. And so I did a deep dive into personal development, and I wanted to become the best version of me physically, emotionally, and mentally, financially, spiritually. I wanted to see what it could look like if I dedicated an entire year to just becoming the best version of me, because the truth is I could always go back. I could always go back to making mistakes, to hurting people, to resenting myself. But what could my life look like if I really took 1 year and I got serious about it and I invested into me? And even though I was a mess of a person, there were some people who were willing to get really messy with me. And I got a couple different mentors in a few areas of my life. And I got obsessed with personal development. And now, several years removed from all of that, my life looks completely different. So like I said, I got married last year to the love of my life. I'm so thankful. I love Jenna so much. We just bought our first investment property a year ago, and we're actually looking to acquire our second one. I've sat on the board of a nonprofit for underprivileged youth. I get to lead hundreds of volunteers at my local church. And really for the last 18 months, I've been working on this project to help other people who want to make their own comeback. And that's where this book came from. It's meant to be a tool and a resource for people who, man, I just feel like my life is too messy. I'll never change. And so I'm super thankful to see what it's done. And it's done really well. And I've been on this podcast tour and I get to meet great people like you now. And so I'm really humbled by the entire experience. But really, my goal now is to help other people. That's what fulfillment looks like for me, is not just my comeback, because yeah, I got to do that and that was great. But man, now I'm looking for, like, how can I help other people do the same thing?
Amazing. That is super, super powerful. So to anyone who's listening right now, who is struggling, you know, maybe they've heard personal development stuff. Maybe they go on YouTube and listen to a bunch of personal development videos, or maybe they read the books or what have you, but they're still not taking those first actions. What would you recommend to them? What's the first thing that they can do for the first action to take to start that domino effect?
So this is a great question. So that's actually how I got introduced to personal development, was watching YouTube videos. There's so much wisdom on YouTube. There's also, it can be a deep, dark black hole. I don't know if you've ever fallen into it before. So you've watched some videos and you're trying to figure out what is the right thing to do. Well, first of all, congratulations. If you're listening to this right now, you're definitely a person that wants to grow. And I honor that. And I respect that. And I love that. Some great first steps are getting around some people who can help you find a mentor. I think understanding that what your belief systems are, the beliefs that have been holding you back, but a super easy, really practical thing to do immediately is to start to cultivate gratitude. And before you write this off as another gratitude list, or here we go again with the being thankful thing, just hear me out. What gratitude says is that what we have is enough, but more importantly, that we are enough. And so every morning I choose, even when I don't feel like it, even when I look at my life and go, man, I'm pretty disappointed right now, I choose to find something to be grateful for. I choose to find two things. And if I really wanted to, if I forced myself, is there something in my life that I can look at and say, actually, this is great. This is good. I like the direction of this life. If we were actually being honest with ourselves and we were maybe giving ourselves a little bit of break, is there an area of our life that we can say, man, I'm actually proud of you for what you're doing right now? Or man, my life would look really different if I didn't have these people in it. And so cultivating gratitude for me is a big one that I do. It sets my day up for success. It allows me to set my intentions for what I want the rest of my day to look like. And so cultivating gratitude is a very easy step that you can do right away. But then the second step for you, I really do believe, is you've got to get a clear vision for your life. And once you have that clear vision that we were talking about, now you have to, this is the second stage, okay? Then we're going to get into 201. You have to start making the right decisions. So contrary to popular belief, what we do every single day, it's so important and it matters so, so much. And so we want to start making the right decisions that line up with the vision that we've created for a life. Your life right now, my life right now, is a reflection of every single decision that we've made. And so I'm not saying that you should buy into the fact that you should have known the right decisions to make. And what I'm trying to say is, let's look at the power of our decisions and let's really understand that there's a whole lot of power that I hold, because small decisions, small momentum over a long period of time can create massive results. So once I have my vision, I add in my decisions. Here is the hardest part. You have to multiply that by time. And the hardest four-letter word any of us are ever going to hear is wait. And waiting can be so difficult because you say, well, I've made the changes. I'm doing the right thing. And my life looks the same. And I'll say, I understand. I know. I get it. Keep holding on. Stay strong. Keep waiting. Dave Meltzer, he has this great analogy. He says, if you look at a pond, and then there in the section of the pond in the very corner, there's a lily pad. And that lily pad will actually multiply every day. So it'll multiply itself every day by 100%. So if you start off in this very small corner and on day two, it looks very small. Day three, it hasn't grown much, but it's still multiplying. It's not until day 29 that half of the pond is filled up. And then on day 30, it multiplies again. And the whole pond is completely covered in lily pads. So if you're looking at your life saying, I'm doing all the right stuff and my life doesn't look any different, I'm just here to tell you, hold on for a little bit longer. If you give up, you're not going to get anywhere. Giving up has never gotten you anywhere that you want to go. And so we're not going to give up this time. So we're going to keep pushing through. And the cool thing is that on day 30, I have the whole pond covered, but now on day 31, I need a second pond, and day 32, I need four ponds. And now day 33, I need eight ponds. And so there's this multiplier effect by allowing time to set in. So I just want to encourage you, if you've created a vision and you're very crystal clear on what you want, and now you're doing the right stuff every day, I'm making the right decisions, I'm moving in the right direction, I'm with the right people, you've got to let some time sit in. And that's the toughest part. But if you give up, you're not going to get where you want to go.
Wow, that is just so super, super powerful. I think with you, you're so powerful because it's like you're not only knowing the knowledge, but when you're speaking, it's like you're really transferring that energy that you're holding about this knowledge onto the audience. Like I can feel it, you know? So, which speaks to the power of belief and power of truth and power of being authentic, like actually living this stuff, which I have without a shadow of a doubt, I'm sure you're actually living this stuff in order for you to actually speak in such an energetically powerful way that, you know, I mean, I was moved the first time I saw you on Robert B. Foster's podcast, hence me reaching out to be on my podcast, because it's just, you know, you can feel this energetic transfer of, you know, of excitement around this is how you create change, because this is how I did it, this is how I discovered it. So you really truly have this, you know, innate excitement about it. Actually, innate rhymes with Nate.
I really appreciate it. That's very kind of you. Thank you so much. What Tony Robbins says is you can't take somebody anywhere that you're not willing to go yourself. So if I'm going to be a leader in somebody's life, you better bet that I'm willing to go there with you. And so I want you to be just as passionate about this. So I've got to be passionate about it as well. And the truth is that this stuff changed my life. This isn't just stuff that I've regurgitated, that I watch on YouTube, and then now I'm just saying to you right now. These are the things that I listened, I watched, I looked at the fruit of other people's lives, and I said, I want what you have. But if I want what you have, I've got to be willing to do what you did. And so now I've started to apply it to my life, and because it's changed me so much. And that's why I love the book so much, because it really gives a description of just how bad my life was, and really the life that I had created, because it was my fault. And now things are so beautiful in my life. It's so different. It's because of this. It's because of what we're talking about right now. And so I get so excited, passionate, amped up about it, because there's so much power in it.
It's true. And speaking about this, reminds me of, I believe it was a major, I think it was Buddha. So there was a long lineup to talk to Buddha. And, you know, people would come up to him just, you know, for, I don't know, advice or counsel, you know, questions they had or what have you. And so there was this little boy with his mom, and they'd wait in this line for, you can imagine, a very, very long time. Maybe you might've heard of this one before. That's why you're smiling. But so I don't know, the waiting hours and hours and hours. I mean, this is the great Buddha. Of course, it's gonna be a long lineup for questions, you know, answers for their transformation. So the little boy says to, or the mother, I think it was the mother or the little boy, but anyway, they say to Buddha, like, my son needs to stop eating sugar. And so the Buddha says to the mother and the little boy, come back in a week. And they're like, what? We're waiting here for like hours and hours and hours, and we have to come back and do this all over again. So they did. They listened and they came back and waited again, that huge, huge long lineup, and finally got to see, talk to me again. I go, okay, we waited a week. We came back. And the Buddha looks at the little boy and says, don't eat any sugar. And the mother's like, why do we have to wait for a week for you to say that? Why couldn't you say the first time around? And the Buddha says, because I had to stop eating sugar in order to tell your son to stop eating sugar, for it to actually be a resounding, powerful, like, movement of energy. Like, yeah. So that's what you remind me of. Of like, you
know, I love that. Yeah. So it really speaks to the fact that the right voices in our life will help us make the right choices in our life. And so when you are starting to take advice from people, I always tell people, you just got to be careful, use some discernment, because I don't want to take advice from somebody that I wouldn't be willing to switch places with. And what I mean by that is that, I don't know if you've ever had a broke uncle that comes to the family barbecue who loves giving financial advice. I love you, uncle, but I can't listen to what you have to say in this moment. I know that there's cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and stocks. That's great. Right. And I believe that there's a strategy to be successful in that. You just haven't shown me that you can be successful on your own. So why would I apply your strategies to my life? So when I look at the fruit of somebody's life, I want to say, I want what they have. So I'm going to be willing to do what they did. And so I want to make sure I'm taking advice from people that I would be willing to trade places with. And this is why a great mentor is just so important in our lives. Because a mentor, someone that we look up to, someone who, when they give us advice, we actually take it. This is so important. Don't waste their time or yours. Take their advice when they give it to you, because they've earned your trust, by the way. A mentor, we don't just freely give trust out. It has to be earned for a great mentor-mentee relationship to work. And so when they speak into it, take their advice. But a good mentor, they will take you places that you desperately need to go, and maybe you don't want to go all on your own. And so lean into that, lean into the advice, let somebody guide you. Don't think, and this was the downfall of my life. I thought I could figure it all out on my own, and I didn't want to let anybody in. And man, I ended up making a lot of mistakes that on the back end, I've got to go and repair all of them. And so When you lean into a mentor's voice, they can help you avoid the potholes, the pitfalls, the face plants that they've made to help you actually go farther than they were able to actually go on their own. So lean into that, listen to it, and make sure that when you're taking advice, that you want to trade places with them. Maybe we don't take advice from the people that are always just directly closest to us, because, and the only reason why I say this, the only reason why, is because a lot of times we have friends who are more worried about being our friends than they are the best advice for us. So like when you start to unload onto somebody, or you open up, or you get a little vulnerable, and they just want to, they really just want to protect you. That's what it is. They want to love you. They want to comfort you. But sometimes we need that hard truth in our life where somebody says, listen, kid, I actually care about you enough to tell you the truth. I'm not so much worried about being your friend as I am more worried about you as a person. And you need to hear this, whether you like me or not. After I say this, you need to hear this. And so oftentimes our friends, they don't always do that in our lives because they're our friends, and we just want to, be friends. We want to be casual and fun and comforting. And so I always seek voices that are true in my life. People that want to give me the hard truths, and not in a critical way of they're tearing me down and they're beating me up, but is like, you need to hear this. And I love you enough to tell you.
Awesome. Again, very, very, very powerful. So thank you so much for being here, contributing your time, your energy, your intel, and your experience on your journey, and pouring gems into the Happy Being Well audience. Now, if somebody wants to buy your book, I know I mentioned Amazon before, but what are the other ways that they could purchase your book?
Yeah, so you can go to youllneverchange.com. And one of these really cool things that I've actually developed is a pay it forward initiative. So what I get to do is I get to work with different people. I've gone into different rehab facilities and recovery centers, and I've gotten to share my message. And I always love to be able to give them a book away for free, give it to them completely for free. But the truth is that it's not from me. It's from somebody that's never met them before that actually believes in their comeback. And so when I hand them the book, I say, hey, this is not a gift from me. This is from somebody that believes in you that's never met you before. So if you'd like to participate and buy a book for someone that you've never met at a discounted rate, it'll be at youllneverchange.com/payitforward.
Oh my God, I love that. That is amazing. That's so creative too. Awesome. I'd really love that. Awesome. So I encourage everyone to buy You'll Never Change by Nate Dukes, either on Amazon.com or youllneverchange.com, and participate in that Pay It Forward program. It sounds amazing. And again, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your place for yoga leggings and all self-care products. So thank you so much, Nate. Really, truly, truly grateful that you were here and pouring into our audience. And I am looking forward to seeing much more success from you. And I'm sure we'll be seeing you on more media channels, because you truly, truly are very powerful in creating change, as we've seen in yourself. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Many blessings. And everybody else, bye for now, and until next time, guys.